You may be seated. And as you turn to Colossians, I want to tell you, I feel today like Otis. If Barney had assigned Otis to go lead the AA meeting at the Mayberry Methodist Church, when I read this passage, and I read these words before you, knowing myself and knowing our drive to church this morning. Maybe some of you had a similar drive to church this morning. But this is God's Word, and these are the verses that we come to today. We typically just preach through a book of the Bible, and that forces you to take every verse. So we're at Colossians 3. Today it's 12 to 14. 12 to 17 is a whole section, but I'm kind of breaking it in half to the two parts. As we've read through Colossians, we've most recently been told, look, if you've been raised with Christ, since you've been raised with Christ, your lives are going to look different now. Last week, we talked about what we should put to death, what we should mortify, things we should throw out of our lives. We should take off like filthy clothes. Today, we begin what we will do for 2 weeks of looking at what we should put on. Just three verses today. Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Our Father in heaven, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. What is your favorite outfit? Your favorite thing to put on? What do you love to wear? It could be different things. It reminds me, y'all know I work during the week at a hospital, and when the CEO, who wears a suit and a tie every day, when he's gone, everybody talks about, oh, I wish we could wear jeans on Fridays again like we used to. They do let them wear their football paraphernalia on Fridays. What's your favorite thing to wear? What we wear has it. You know, sometimes we have a uniform. You get a job, you have a uniform for that job. Uniform for sports. As I was thinking about this introduction, I was thinking that we lived in Greensboro while Herb Jones, who played basketball for Alabama and now plays for the Pelicans, while he was, I don't know if I, he would, if he played baseball, he would have been playing baseball. He went to Hell County High. He didn't stay. But I don't know if I was out there on the coaching against him in baseball, but I now have a Herb Jones, my first professional jersey I ever bought. I have a Herb Jones Pelicans jersey that I wore when the Pelicans played the Hawks, and my wife sent us to a Hawks and Pelicans game. We have things we like to wear. Well, that's the exact imagery here that Paul is using. Put on, and it's using the imagery of clothing. Put on, if you've been raised with Christ, and since you've been raised with Christ, you need to wear the clothes of a Christian, of someone who's been filled with God's Holy Spirit. And so he tells us what that looks like. You have a new identity in Christ. You're God's chosen ones. You're his special people. You're holy and beloved. If you're God's special people, whom he's chosen, whom he's called and saved, who have been set apart, holy, set apart, different from the world now. different, but beloved, then our lives are going to look different. We have a new status. We've been raised with Christ. And so he says, this is what you ought to wear. This is your new uniform. This is parts of that new uniform. So he gives us these virtues. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. He's telling us you have a new identity, and so you're going to have a new look. You're going to have on new clothes. And these clothes, we're talking about our character. The primary character of the new identity. The primary character of the new identity. He's told us to put off two sets of five things we ought to put away in the last section. Now he's telling us five things that we ought to put on. Let's think about those five things very briefly. And actually, let's look at our new uniforms. Here's five aspects, five parts of our new uniforms, those that the Christian wears by the power of the Spirit, not on our own. Compassionate hearts. That's empathetic feelings towards one another. Feelings of one another's pain. And it's expressed in actions. Because we're related to Christ now. He's our elder brother. He's our Savior. We're in His family. Now, within His family of God, we have compassion towards one another. In a world of hate and of canceling one another, we show compassion. Compassionate hearts. Kindness. Kindness. Goodness. Generosity. Readiness to do good, even when it's undeserved. Being sensitive toward each other. Gracious. Because we care. We care about one another's feelings and desires. God's kindness. God has shown us kindness that leads us to repentance and to kindness towards one another. Humility. Put on humility. A posture of lowliness, of servanthood. The very opposite of egoism and arrogance. Humility. Doing away with pecking orders. And one-upsmanship. You know, Paul, in Philippians, our example of this humility is Jesus. You know, he's the one who he tells us. Did the ladies do his gentle and lowly? Were the one place in the Bible where Jesus describes his own heart, gentle and lowly? He's our example on this kind of humility. And Paul spells it out in Philippians 2. That Jesus, it says, in telling us to do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility to count others more significant than yourself, he uses Christ as our example. Though in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And we all know we're going to get to this a little bit as we continue, but that the humility it took to walk around with those disciples day after day. Think about how we, don't you think Jesus had moments he might have just, in his human nature, would have been prone to just be embarrassed about what these guys were doing. He was so humble. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, that is gentleness or courtesy. Here's sort of a definition. A non-coercive approach to encouraging change in others' lives. A way of bringing constructive criticism that is received as help rather than condemnation. That takes some wisdom, doesn't it? That takes some meditation, some thought to learn to give, because the last thing we're supposed to do in the body of Christ is just let each other go off into our own foolishness. We're here to help hold each other accountable. But you know, we can actually do that with meekness. Being able to offer constructive criticism that can be received as help rather than condemnation. But also being willing to make allowances, to give each other some room, some space to fumble and to fall and to be picked up again. Patience. Willingness to take the long view. We're works in progress. We're frail. It's going to take a while. But remember, God, again, I'm sticking with Paul here. I am sure of this. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. But being patient means we don't take vengeance. I suppose if it's our enemy, we realize we can show them compassion. And even that, in God's way of dealing with things, will either bring them to repentance or is in itself a kind of judgment against them, like hot coals upon them. So we, again, with our enemies, we just show them that turning of the other cheek. But, you know, within the body of Christ, this patience is a willingness to endure wrongs for God's glory and for the growth and help of one another. Again, Christ is our model. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. This is the character, the characteristics of the new identity. But he begins to spell out what wearing these five articles of the new spiritual clothing and actual very practical clothing when it's worked out in our lives, he continues and says, well, here's what it'll look like. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other. I think some translations are a little even more kind in the way that it says it. You know, this one says, bearing with one another. I think showing forbearance. Ralph Davis, in preaching on this, says, look, let's be honest. Here's what it means literally. Putting up with each other. This isn't a room full of perfect people. It's a room full of sinners saved by grace. And in the body of Christ, we can irritate each other. We can. It happens. And so it's literally saying, you know, we put up with each other. We put up with each other. We've already talked about these other things of having these characteristics that help us grow more like Christ, help us influence one another in our growth and our sanctification toward in being like Christ. So the prevailing conduct of the new identity. The prevailing conduct, like so the way that we typically act, we sin, that's why we have a time of confession and forgiveness, but our prevailing, our overarching, as days go and as we become more like Christ, as God grows us, this we become more like this. We're more willing to bear with one another. And even when we have a complaint against each other, and realize if this is a complaint against each other that we have to forgive, that means it was a wrong. We don't have to forgive things that weren't sins. So when we sin against each other, he's saying, show forgiveness. And he has a key to that, remembering how much God has forgiven you. We forgive each other because of how God has forgiven us. He's canceled our debts. They asked Jesus, should we forgive someone who sinned against us? Should we forgive him 7 times? He said, how about 70 times 7? So the key, again, is remembering how much God has forgiven us. And the word here literally is canceling the debts. Saying, no more, you're off the hook. Now again, we're talking about something that was a sin, so there may be consequences. There may be challenges that we must now face as we continue the relationship. But he is saying, forgive. The prevailing conduct of the new identity. Forgiveness. Isn't it remarkable when you read in Jesus' the accounts of his crucifixion when he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They have beaten him, spat upon him. In Isaiah it says they plucked out his beard. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's a story. When Robert E. Lee had taken the presidency of Washington College, he had 4 daughters, and he would go out on horse rides with his daughters after work or on the weekends. He had several different paths he liked to take on these rides with his, particularly there was a particular daughter, I think, that they just liked to go horseback riding. And he, there was a time when he stopped, he passed by a house, and there was a woman outside, and they stopped, and as he and his daughter were on their horse, and he said they were thirsty, and he said, ma'am, could my daughter and I have a drink of water from your well here as we are on our ride today? And she said, yes, sir, General Lee, you may. So he got down off his horse and took a drink from the well. And next to the well was this dead tree. And she said, General Lee, you see that tree right there? When the northern troops were heading back home, they came and took my husband out and tied him to that tree and killed him. And I've left that tree there to remind me how much I hate them and that I will never forgive them. And Robert E. Lee stood there a moment, and he said, ma'am, cut down that tree. Cut down that tree. I implore you, cut down that tree. Isn't that what we do? We have these symbols. We have symbols, even, of our unforgiveness. And we're the ones who suffer for it. God has forgiven us so we can forgive one another. So, we're wearing our uniforms now, these new uniforms. If we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, which is what it means to be made right before God, that's what God does. He sees us as he sees his own son. Then we have a new character, a primary character. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. We also have new conduct, a prevailing conduct of enduring one another, even in those challenging moments, as well as forgiving each other. And so he caps off this analogy here of using this whole idea of being clothed in this new uniform of the believer. So he says finally in verse 14, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Love unites the other virtues. Using this clothing metaphor, love is the stitch that holds all the other virtues in place. Again, we could think of it as the top hat on the really nice outfit, however we want to think about it. Again, that idea, the stitch that runs through it all, holding it all together. It's that final piece that makes it all put together and make sense, love. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Because without love, these other virtues could be distorted. They could be kind of just halfway applied. They could become stagnant. And so we need love to hold them together. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but if I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It's the cohesive, the principle cohesive of the new identity. It holds it all together. Now, this harmony, this peace, it doesn't mean we lack differences of opinion, differences of personality. But Jesus is our head, the head of His people, the church. Under His authority, under His governing leadership, we can then wear our new uniforms. Our Christian forbearance, our Christian forgiveness, our Christian love. The example, the grounding of this is Christ's work for us. David Garland put it like this: love bonds the community of believers together into one body where peace reigns and ultimately leads to their perfection at the day of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit that You send to dwell in each believer. And these are actually fruits of that Spirit. And so, Lord, we thank You. You are not telling us to go do our best. You are telling us to live as who we are. New creatures in Christ Jesus, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So help us, O Lord. We thank You for these new uniforms. Help us wear them humbly and gratefully and confidently. In Jesus' name, amen.